Christian Crusaders extends a heartfelt welcome to each of our listeners. This month, we are celebrating 67 years of continuous radio broadcasts. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
How would you answer a person who asks, "There is nothing that I would like more than to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord"? But how can you believe this gospel that cannot be proven? We'll talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, we pray that today you will give us an insight how faith can be created, how it can be strengthened, and how we can become men and women of faith who not only trust you for our salvation, but who are able to leave our whole life in your hands. God, speak to us through that word and guide and direct us in this whole matter of trusting you. For we ask it in your holy name. Amen. In his letter to the Corinthians, St. Paul, in the 12th chapter, the first three verses gives us an insight regarding faith. He writes, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed.' And no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit." Here ends a reading of God's holy word.
My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. My great physician heals the sick, the lost he came to save. For me his precious blood he shed, for me his life he gave. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me.
Friends in Christ, people have many questions that they choose not to ask everyone who comes along. There are some of these things that are pretty personal, and we want to choose who we would discuss them with. For example, here is a very proud man who comes to a close friend and says, "Bob, I wouldn't ask most people this question, but as a trusted friend, I feel you will treat my problem confidentially. And here's my problem. I am hopelessly in debt. My friends don't know this. My wife will be devastated when she learns we are losing our new house. And our kids will rebel, having to adjust to a more modest lifestyle. And then there's my own self. I have disappointed so many people. Bob, what can I do? Do you have some advice?" Now, I don't know, but I think that this is a rather common question. For we live in a day where it's so easy to overspend. We build large houses, we do some great things, and then suddenly the pink slip comes and we don't have a job, or the business goes under. All we have to do is read in our paper the list of bankruptcies, and we know that things are not always so good. A major problem is finance, and that's very common in our day. So you would perhaps be a little bit surprised that it was this good friend, but that another one has gone under is just sort of a thing of the day. But now, could you understand this one? Here is a person that comes along and says, "Bob, you're a Christian man. I've never had much time for religion, and I haven't cared too much about the church either, but perhaps you can help me. You may be surprised that I know some of the basics of the Christian faith. I know that the Bible teaches that we are sinners and that Jesus came to die for us. I also know that if we trust him, we will be forgiven and go to heaven, and if we deny him, we'll go to hell. I remember, Bob, when you and I were students at the university. Some of us, not you, Bob, but some of us would make fun of the fellow in the college who went off to church each Sunday morning carrying his Bible and openly confessing that Jesus Christ was his Savior. You know, Bob, I have to admit that I have been critical of you when in your weaker moments you have departed from Jesus' teachings And when you became angry, you didn't hesitate to tell us off. And once in a while, you'd use some profanity. I would think, what a hypocrite he is. He says he's a Christian, and he falls in this way. But I know that you are. You're not a perfect man, but you're one who trusts Jesus Christ and you live according to his word. But Bob, there is nothing that I would like more than to honestly trust Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. How in the world did you get yourself to believe this teaching? You're an intelligent person. How can you believe something that cannot be proven? Now there is a question that I would think would be much more astounding than the first one that deals with finance. I think this question could cause you to say, wow, are there really people running around today with problems like this? Oh, I know there are people who belong to the church and they sometimes get disgusted with the local congregation, are really, really disgusted with the denomination of which they are a part when it goes far, far beyond what they could ever accept. But here is a person who is not talking about his local church nor his denomination. He's talking about wanting to have a personal relationship with God. Bob answers his friend by saying, listen. Listen to something I learned when I was a kid. It didn't make much sense to me then, and I was angry when my parents made me memorize it. But I thank God that they did make me memorize it, because it stands to bring me a great deal of comfort. And I really believe, Bob, that if you'll take this seriously and carry through with it, it's the answer to your question. Listen to these words. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel. He has enlightened me with his gifts, and he has sanctified and preserved me in the one true faith. You know who wrote that, Bob? None other than Martin Luther. Way back in the 16th century, and that is just as true today as it was when the Reformer wrote these words. What is he saying? He's saying by your own reason you cannot come to faith in Jesus Christ. Nobody can say, I'm going to talk you right into the kingdom. I'm going to argue you into the kingdom. No, it's the Holy Spirit who works through the means of grace. And we're going to talk about this more now in just a minute. Who works through the means of grace that finally leads me to say, Lord Jesus, I trust you. But better than Luther, listen to this. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The counselor of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. You know who wrote that? Jesus Christ. 2,000 years ago. What's he saying? I'm going to send the counselor. The counselor is the Holy Spirit. And he'll work in your heart through the word of God. And he'll finally lead you to the place where you can say, I believe you, Lord Jesus. You're not argued into the kingdom. You do not somehow or other work your way into the kingdom. Not according to Jesus. And now listen to this. No one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. You know who wrote that? It was the Apostle Paul to a congregation in Corinth. But if you are like Bob, my friend, and you're wondering, how could I ever come to faith in Christ? There is nothing that I want more. And I'm talking to some of you who are very successful people who might be riding in your automobile at this time or sitting home in your lovely house. But you're really crying out, give me some help. Give me some help. You're on your way. If you want to continue farther, you're on your way into a more personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Men and women who listen to me today, I grow very, very concerned when I have a friend tell me, only this past week, I get disgusted with the church. I go to church and I hear everything under the sun, and I don't think those preachers know everything that they're talking about. They got the final word on the last social cause. What I need to hear is something about my relationship with God. Okay, here it is. God loves you. He has created you in His image. He has suffered and died on the cross of Calvary for your sin. He has sent His Holy Spirit to work in your heart. And if you will permit the Holy Spirit to work in your heart, then that which you say you want the most, a living personal relationship with Almighty God, you can have. I have used this illustration with Bob to talk to you today about the Holy Spirit, who is the third person of the Trinity. You know, in the Christian faith, and these are some of the basic teachings of the Christian faith, the Christian believes that God is triune. God the Father has created us. God the Son has saved us. And God the Holy Spirit works in us to bring us to faith in Christ Jesus as our Savior and our Lord. The Holy Spirit is God, not an influence. He is God. You can pray to Him just like you pray to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a God who brings us to faith through the Word. You remember that great story of David? David, after he has fallen into sin with Bathsheba, killed her husband, and then one day, God sends Nathan. And he sits down and has a long talk with David. You can read about that in the 11th chapter of 2 Samuel. And finally he says to him, this man had taken another man's wife. And he went on in parable form and told David what he had done. And when David began to get his eyes open, he said, well, the man who has lived that way certainly ought to die. Then comes a crushing blow from Nathan, the servant of God, and he says, David, you're the man. Now notice, the Holy Spirit is working through Nathan's words. It's not Nathan. It's the Holy Spirit working through Nathan's words. And David says, I have sinned. Come to a conviction of his sin. And there's nothing that can ever happen in our relationship with God until we have come to a conviction of our sin. But then after we have come to a conviction of our sin, Nathan brings him hope. He says, the Lord has forgiven you. Friend, that's a promise. That's a promise that if we will confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins because Christ on the cross has atoned for every one of them. But how do I come to that faith? Faith, you know, is not simply gathering a lot of information about Jesus. Faith is not even saying that it is true. But faith is trusting Christ. And faith, my friend, comes, according to St. Paul, by hearing the Word of God. Listen to what he writes to the Roman Church. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word of Jesus Christ. So when you and I stand before God and listen to him speak through his Word, it is the Almighty who is talking. That's why we need to hear it preached Sunday after Sunday. That's why we need to take time out with our Bibles and really sitting with them and listening to what God says on a regular basis every day. Only last evening I was reading in a book written by Charles Swindoll, the great, I believe, Bible teacher. He has written a book on the Apostle Paul. And he gets to that place where he's talking about Paul in Arabia, where he's gone away for 3 years and he's alone with God. Well, obviously, we can't take 3 years out and just sit there and let God speak to us through the Word. But Swindoll challenges us to take off some time, maybe a few hours, maybe a day where I get aside from everything, from everyone. I've just gone to the cabin or wherever it may be. And there you sit with your Bible and let God speak. That's where faith is created. That's where we come to know him as a Savior and Lord, and that's where it grows. That's how we have faith in our own lives, to trust him. Not only to be able to say, well, I believe from our hearts that Jesus is Lord, and that's very important, but to be able to cast all of our cares on him. How are we going to help others come to faith in Jesus Christ? I like what Joram Barrs says. In his little book on evangelism, he writes, you know, we do not need to try to force the gospel on family members, friends and acquaintances who are not yet ready to listen. The Lord will open the door in his time. And when he does provide the opportunity to share some aspect of the truth with a family member or a friend, we should make the most of the opportunity. My friend, I tell you that it is the Holy Spirit working through that word that can bring that friend that you so want to have as a believer in Christ Jesus. So pray to the Holy Spirit. Ask him to do what you and I cannot do, and show him his need for Christ. And then when God opens the door, then you and I, in love, can take him step by step along the way. Let's remember that as Christians, our task is to carry the good news of the faith to those who are not Christians. And after we have faithfully done that, we leave the rest to the Holy Spirit. For he and he alone can bring us to say from our hearts, Lord Jesus, I trust you and I love you with my whole being. Amen. Father, we thank you that your word has said clearly that you would not have anyone to be lost, but that all might come to a knowledge of the saving truth that is ours in Christ Jesus. So, Father, we pray for those this day who would love to have a living relationship with you, but know not how to receive it. We pray that your word, and perhaps even some of these ill-chosen words in this sermon, may lead them back to the Scriptures, back there to find the Holy Spirit and love, convicting of sin, back there listening to the Holy Spirit, as he says to each one of us, as once he said to David of old, "Your sins are forgiven." Lord, help us to understand how important it is that we lay everything in your hands if we want a rich and a full life. Bless us throughout this week. We ask it in your holy name. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. It is our prayer that today's gospel message has brought you comfort and peace for the week ahead. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry dependent on gifts from you, our listeners. In September, many of you gave an anniversary gift of $67, $1 for each year of our ministry. We thank our listeners for your generous support. This week, we have a special gift for listeners of KTLR Radio in Oklahoma City. If you listen in the Oklahoma City area, please call our toll-free number at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484 to request your free gift. We will need your name and address to mail your gift. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. Hundreds of Pastor Larson's sermons are available to be read or printed. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 41 years.